It's a little bit quieter than the intro last time. Welcome to episode 2 of the Lost Experience Clues podcast. My name is David Peniel.
I'm William West.
And I'm Daniel Milner.
Our website is thelostexperienceclues.com
or thelostexperienceclues.blogspot.com.
Well, guys, we are back, and just right out the gate, I want to thank everybody out there who had enough faith in us to subscribe to our podcast, tune in for a second week in a row, and we just wanted to start off by acknowledging that we still have not found professional help to produce this podcast. So we're just kind of winging it. Our sound will remain very homegrown, but we want to promise you that the content of this podcast, while the production might be weak and not too great, which we're going to hear some feedback on that later, the content of this podcast is going to be awesome.
That's right, David. On this podcast, we're still going to be committed to three things. Number one, we're keeping our content explicitly focused on lost experience. Number two, we're keeping our content fresh and new. We're not repeating any of the content found on our blog.
We will repeat sound effects, though. Just a warning.
That is true, and I apologize for that in advance. Number three, we're going to keep it short and sweet so Lost doesn't take away any more of your precious time than it already does.
Awesome. Well, let's get started. On last week's podcast, we played a game called 15 Thoughts in 15 Minutes. For today's podcast, we're going to slow it down just a little bit, and we're going to focus on 4 thoughts in 15 minutes. And we're never, just so you know, we're never going to stray from the numbers. There's going to be a 4 in there, an 8, a 15, a 16, a 23, or a 42 somewhere. We're faithful to that. So it's 4 thoughts in 15 minutes. And if you haven't listened to episode 1 yet, seriously, those 15 thoughts, I think a lot of those were important. Some of them were just like, stop sending us emails, but most of those were important thoughts. And so if you're reading our blog, go back. It's only 20 minutes long. Listen to episode 1 and then catch up with these 4 thoughts that we have here on episode 2. We highly recommend catching up on episode 1 first.
Yeah, here's what we're going to talk about today. Daniel's going to be giving us his theories and best guesses related to the picture found at hole2.thehanzofoundation.org. That's one of the... Oh, hi, David.
I think it is Beaver Cleaver's dad.
And you're wrong.
Dang it.
I'm going to come back and hit us with some info on the Philadelphia experiment, as well as the Montauk project. Those are kind of interrelated, and hopefully we'll turn some of that into advanced physics speak, or from advanced physics into plain old English.
So number one is we're going to talk about that picture. Number two, you're going to talk about Philadelphia and Montauk, which you're going to have to explain to me how that even applies.
I'll do my best.
All right.
David's going to come back and kind of we're going to go broad here, and he's going to say how this whole game ties back into the island and the show, and it's going to be great.
I'm not going to spoil anything for those of you that aren't finished with season 2 yet, but I do have an idea of how this game's going to wrap itself around and give a big loving bear hug to the show Lost.
Stick around for that. That's going to be cool. And then we're going to close out with some, like David mentioned a second ago, some feedback that we got last week about our podcast. Anything from sound quality to human quality. We'll hear about it.
We got some good feedback. Okay, well, let's get started. We've got a kitchen timer again to make sure that we don't make this thing super long and boring. We know you don't have an hour and a half to sit around and listen to us jabber about the lost experience. So we're going to set it for 15 minutes. We're going to go about that. I might go a little bit over because I want to make sure and read all of your feedback. But let's get rolling. William, put 15 minutes on the clock. Daniel, you start us off. But remember, let's keep it focused on the lost experience only. Let's keep it fresh and new. And let's keep it short and sweet. Daniel, talk to us about your best guesses or what you've read, what people are saying about hole2.thehanzofoundation.org.
Okay, so everybody's been looking at this picture the last couple days. I know. Go for it.
Sorry, I had to interrupt you. Just a reminder to our listeners out there, in case you didn't listen to episode 1, I am David, and I have a train whistle, and William over there has a laser beam, and Daniel has the really cheesy horn. And we will hear feedback about that later. But if we want to interrupt something someone's saying to make a comment, you'll hear those sound effects. Just to keep it light and fun. Daniel, go ahead.
Alrighty. Back to this clue here. We've all been looking at this picture these last couple days. It's this faceless guy. I'm not going to take you through how we get there, but as William referenced before, it's found at hole2.thehanzofoundation.org. And there's been a lot of speculation about this because this is basically the only unsolved clue we have right now that we're trying to get to the next big reveal on the Hanzo website. And we've been receiving just a ton of theories on this. On our website alone, the comments section of this clue is over 500 comments. On ABC's official website, the InsideTheExperience.com, there's over 700 comments on there in this clue.
How did they get more comments than us?
They're official.
Oh, my
gosh. It's linked.
Yeah. I just want to go ahead and put it out there. If anyone knows the speaker or if the speaker is listening, we've got Skype on our computer now. We can record phone conversations. We're going to do that. I would love to talk to the speaker. We don't have to reveal who you are or your name, but we'd love to have you on the podcast. All right, keep going. Sorry.
No problem at all. So what we're going to do is we're going to get into some of the best and some of the worst theories we have here. And kind of keeping with the format of the show, we're going to stick to what we know. There's a lot of theories out there, and some of them are just really out there. So we're going to go through some of those, and we're going to go through what I believe are some of the better theories here. Out of the better theories, speaking of our friend Speaker over at InsideTheExperience.com, he made a comment the other day saying, we're not looking at this picture correctly. He says he's been told by some that he can help too much, so he's decided to leave this one alone. So there's a lot of speculation about looking at the picture differently, turning it around, backwards, forwards, sideways. Along with those lines, a lot of people have also been looking at the file name. The file name of the picture is Q9ALS2002.gif. And I think one of the best theories I've heard on that file name is referring to our friend Alvar Hanzo. Alvar Hanzo was last seen in 2002, and if you look at the file name, that could be an abbreviation there for A, Alvar, L, last, S, seen, 2002.
Ooh. I like that theory. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I like that theory.
Yes,
what's Q9 stand for?
That's another big question. Some people have referred that to the T9 coding method, and they have run that through. They've actually spelled out the 2002 TWO and so forth and tried to make anagrams out of that. And, you know, it's some great effort, but I haven't really seen anything there that's of any value, to be honest. Yes, David.
I want to add on to that. I don't know if you're going to say this or not, but you're talking about this might be where Alvar Hanzo was last seen.
Mm-hmm.
And someone sent me an email that if you flip the picture over, the white spot on the guy's face looks like the state of Michigan. And so maybe he was in Michigan with the DeGroots, who were from the University of Michigan.
Yeah, actually, David, I haven't gotten to the worst theories yet,
okay.
But thank you for throwing that out there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, actually, if you refer to our previous clues, just to step back for a minute, it shows that Alvar was last seen in Madrid on 12/31/2002. So that might have something to do with it as well, if we're decoding this correctly. I've also heard some things as far as people seeing words in this guy's hair. They think it says, I'm in New York. They think there's a horse in the negative space where the face should be. Guys, to be honest, I think you're just looking at the picture a little bit too long.
At it right now.
Yeah? What do you see?
I don't see anything written in his hair, for sure.
No?
But
okay.
if anything, it says Jupe.
Yeah, I have heard that as well.
People have said that. I see the horse, though. I'm sitting here at a distance, and William's got it blown up on the screen. And it does. I do see the horse there. I don't know what that would mean, though, what that would tell us.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. There's really nowhere to go with it from there.
What are other theories you've heard, Daniel?
Some of the other theories, let's see here. Some people have actually tried to do some 3D image mapping. They have tried to take this clue to the next level as far as this was found by going to the whole 2 dot the Hanzo Foundation. And they've tried putting some other things into that Hanzo Foundation extension.
Mm-hmm.
We got several emails from people saying, oh my gosh, whole 1 dot the Hanzo Foundation and whole 3 and whole 58 works. It takes you to the whole Hanzo Foundation site. Guys, for right now, unless it's something that's been set up by the site creators like Persephone dot the Hanzo Foundation and so forth, it's just going to take you back to the main Hanzo Foundation site. Now, maybe at some point in the future, those extra sites might be slightly different from the regular Hanzo Foundation site, but at this point, we have no reason to believe that they're any different from the main site as if you just typed in www.
Yep. What are some of the bad theories?
Well, actually, just one more thing here is kind of interesting. We got, as I'm closing up here, we got an email from someone who, and I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, he identified himself as Josie Boxy, but he mentioned that on the ABC blog, he posted that he thought this picture was of an actor named Clancy Brown, who, and don't Google this guy if you don't want to be spoiled for the season finale, but he's set to play Kelvin Inman on this week's season finale.
And he's played back, Joe Inman on a previous episode.
Yeah, Joe Inman was the character that convinced Saeed to torture his fellow countrymen, if you remember back to this earlier this season. But he said he looked back today and his post had been removed. Now, maybe they just thought it wasn't of value. Maybe he was onto something. But that's kind of an interesting theory.
It's kind of weird that the speaker would remove a post. That's not offensive or profane.
Right. And he's had some problems with people posting as him. So, I mean, I know they've done some moderation over there recently, but this doesn't appear to be that case. So it's kind of an interesting theory.
That's pretty cool. You know, I have a feeling, you know, it's right now, it's Tuesday when we're recording this. I bet by the end of the night tonight or probably halfway through the day tomorrow, we'll have figured out what that is.
Right.
I'm not sure if we need to talk much more about it. People are getting all over stuff that, you know, is almost unsolvable, I think.
Right, David, I agree. I think when we saw this clue, it's going to be obvious that we saw that. It's not going to be something as obscure as the horse head that we have to go to a horse ranch in New York and talk to a guy whose name is an anagram for Hugh McIntyre.
It's wild. Or I think right now William has it blown up again. I'm staring at it really hard, like kind of blurry, and a schooner just popped out.
Actually, it's a sailboat.
Okay. Schooner or sailboat. Mm-hmm. That's an obscure movie reference. Moving on, who's next? William, is it your turn to give us an overview? I've heard we talked about last week the Philadelphia experiment and the Montauk project or whatever that is. Explain to me what those things are. I'm a little bit confused.
Philadelphia experiment, David, supposedly first executed on October 28th, 1943. That's why it came up as part of the Lost Experience in the first place, that October 28th reference, was a Navy program back during World War II where they basically thought that they could make a ship appear invisible by using magnetic fields to bend light around it.
All right, I'm going to pause right there. We do have listeners and readers that aren't, you know, scientific geniuses. Let me hear you saying this is supposedly happening during World War II. We have heard that Alvar Hanzo made his mark during World War II, so there might be a possible connection there. But they basically made a giant boat invisible by bending light around it and things like that. Is that what you just said?
That's what they tried to do. Yeah, they tried to do. And it was, you know, it's based on Albert Einstein's unified field theory, which basically tries to tie in all of your major fields together, including electromagnetic, gravitational, and that's kind of what it's based on. Now, that field hasn't really been substantialized, and neither has this experiment, but, you know, that's all.
So basically all we need to know about Philadelphia experiment, if you want to read more, read more. But if you're not a rocket scientist and your mind hurts when you start thinking about unified theory and you don't even know what that means, you just basically need to know that it's something that might tie in with Alvar Hanzo. It might tie in with the site because they reference the date October 28th, and it talks about making things invisible using electromagnetic fields, gravitational fields, and different things like that. And it might tie into the show. How?
Right. Well, I was thinking about that today while I was at work.
You've got a job?
What? And, you know, there's a couple ideas that actually might be considered throwbacks. If you're able to make a ship disappear, then certainly you can make an entire island disappear. That certainly would keep people searching for it out of the loop and things like that. You also might be able, if you were
Hang
able
on
to...
a second.
Thank you.
Ta-da. That's a good idea.
You know, and of course, if you're watching the show, including, I think, last week's episode, I mean, they've got those huge magnets going on inside those hatches with whose purpose we have no idea what's going on with those. If you were really up to speed on the unified field theory, I mean, you're talking about using electromagnetic fields to affect gravity, and David's shaking his head
yeah,
no.
That's like, too much. That's
like
my brain's about to
question
explode.
Mark over
what's
his head.
What's the Motok or Mautak, Montauk?
Montauk's kind of more of the same. Later on, they decided to try and re-pick this project back up, and that just took place in Montauk, Long Island, in New York. And they just did a lot of tests with electromagnetic fields, subjecting people to that, and trying to move things through time and space, and it's really just more of the same kind of physics.
And do you think this show is going to get into space and time travel and extraterrestrial? I mean, I've heard stuff like that. My opinion is no.
Yeah, I don't think so. Pretty much, I think we're just kind of dealing with present times, present place. I mean, we're talking about somewhere in the Pacific. You know, there's some theories out there where using these huge electromagnetic fields that they could have lowered the plane gently down to the water and just made it look like it was torn apart
and
crashed.
And we might find that out in the season two finale. They're going to say why the plane crashed is what I heard in the teasers. So we might find that out tomorrow night. We'll see. Could it make a person's face disappear and just make it a white?
it certainly could ruin a photograph.
Maybe he was in the Montauk Project and it just made the electromagnetism made his face just wipe off.
Part of the Philadelphia experiment was talking about having people partially disappear and having them fused with the hull of this ship. I mean, there's no telling what these ginormous fields can do.
Okay. I don't think we're on to anything, but let's move on. Here's what I want to do. I want to give my best guess at how this game will tie back into the show. And I want to hear y'all's feedback about if you think this is a good theory or not. But essentially, I've just read a lot of different people's theories, and I've taken what we've been learning along the way, and I'm going to do it really simply, okay? So if you're someone, we've gotten a lot of feedback of people just going, hey, do I have to be an electrical engineer to play this game? No, because I'm not an electrical engineer. So here's my basic overall theory. I'd love to hear what you guys think, but here's the deal. We've learned from Gary Troop that Alvar Hanso is the only guy in the world who has an actual copy of the Valenzetti equation. You can watch Gary Troop's interviews and get that out of that. Gary Troop goes on to say this, and this is a direct quote from one of his interviews. He says, the Hanso Foundation promotes itself as bettering humanity. And that's all I'm going to say about it right now because I'm going to be writing a book about this, and I will tell you this. As soon as people find out about what's going on inside this huge, famous, supposedly benevolent foundation, it's going to shock you. So Gary Troop is telling us there's something shocking happening inside the Hanso Foundation. Here's what I think the shocker is. They believe that they hold the secret that predicts the exact number of years to the extinction of the human race, right? That's the Valenzetti equation.
That's the idea.
Right? So Hanso thinks they have that. They also believe that with this foresight that's been given to them by the Valenzetti equation, they have a window of opportunity to actually thwart complete annihilation. I don't believe they're trying to stop the end of the world, but I do believe they're going to try to get around it and maybe figure out a way to survive. So the Hanso Foundation realizes doom will befall the Earth, but some will inevitably survive somehow, right? And they'll find a way to survive. You guys following me on this?
I'm with you.
I believe so. I guess the question that I have, David, is if Persephone is so sure that they're an evil entity and it's an evil corporation.
I'm getting to it.
Okay, take me there.
Here's their efforts. They're trying right now to prepare for the rebuilding of the human race post-apocalypse. So, but they're like any good mad scientist or bad guy in any movie or book you read, the power of this knowledge has gone to their heads and they've taken their agenda to another level. To a dangerous level. Here's why Persephone thinks they're evil. Not only are they trying to ensure the survival of the human race, but they're trying to manipulate how the human race is rebuilt. Here's what I mean by that. They believe it's their duty to create a better human race. So they're seeking to use advancements. Oh, no. Is our time almost up?
I'll make it
quick. Advancements in a genetic manipulation, psychology, parapsychology, electromagnetism, medicine, all these things. They're trying to shape a better humanity. So here's what's happening on the island. One of two scenarios, and then I'll quit. The Dharma Initiative is either this, one of two things, and I think it's the second one. The first one is a catastrophic world event has already occurred, and the Losties were brought as the chosen ones to repopulate the Earth, and they're going to manipulate them into the perfect people to repopulate the Earth. Theory two is, though, that the Dharma Initiative is just a test site used to assess different methods of human betterment. And the Losties were chosen as prime subjects for this experiment because they represent a pretty broad cross-section of the most extremely flawed and gifted humans that the Earth has to offer. So basically they've brought all these people here that have these terrible pasts or extreme gifts, and they brought them on this island. They're trying to test, can we manipulate genes? Can we use electromagnetism and psychology and all these things to create people that are fit to repopulate the Earth? In the wake of an apocalyptic destruction of some sort. Does that make sense?
That makes sense to me. I mean, from the show, it's obvious there's some kind of testing going on there. So far, we've just mainly focused on psychological, some medical. And if that's how it works out, that would make for a very interesting series reveal, really.
Yeah, and I think the Persephone's problem and the problem here is that they're taking it too far. They should let everyone know, hey, here's the Valenzetti equation, and here's when the world's going to end. Now, obviously, if that was a real thing and someone said that, there'd be mass pandemonium and hysteria. So what they're doing is they're not giving that information out to anybody. They're taking matters in their own hands, and they're doing it in an inappropriate way. And what Persephone's saying is these are not the right people to have the power of this knowledge, because they are taking it totally in the wrong direction. That's my best guess. I think the resolution of the show, just by the way, when the series ends, is that as we go, the Losties are going to figure this out. They're going to figure out that they're either experimental subjects, I think, that's what it is, or that the world has been annihilated. I think they're going to figure out their subjects, and what they're going to do is they're going to refuse to submit, they're going to overcome, they're going to destroy the Dharma Initiative, and they'll probably return to the Earth with knowledge of the Valenzetti equation. I think the Losties will figure out when the world is going to end, but they're going to realize that nothing needs to change, and they're not going to try to take, and they're going to be the good guys that go back, and they go back and just live like normal lives. That's my guess.
That's a great theory. All I have to say is if they wake up and it's Hurley's dream, someone's going to pay. Someone will.
He is kind of crazy. All right, David, we are out of time, so let's roll through. Roll through some feedback,
we'll wrap it up with some of this stuff. Here's feedback from listeners, and I don't know, do we need any sort of, there's been a lot of murmuring. I got some sound effects. It sounds a little bit like the others, but this is kind of what we hear all day long in comments and on email. It's just a mass of, that was terrible, by the way. That sound effect was no good. I completely apologize for it.
Homegrown, folks. We are homegrown.
Here's some of the feedback we've gotten from, we got an email from someone named R. Spavone. I hope it's not Spavone or Spavone. I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. Here's the subject of the email. You guys sound hot. And then in her email, she says, the subject says it all. You three sound so funny, and I want you to know your website has made me obsessed with a lost experience. And she says, I don't really understand what I'm supposed to be finding out. Plus, I don't see how a regular person can win because it seems like everyone else who is playing is like an electrical engineer. I really enjoy your website and keep it up. And her name? I told you her last name, so I shouldn't tell you her first name.
Yeah, that's bad.
Okay, I won't
but
do
she,
that.
But she does have a girl's name, right? We're sure this is a female.
It is a girl. And what I said, here's my reply. I said, thanks, R. Spavone. Your ears were correct. We are hot, but too bad for all the ladies out there. David and William each have beautiful wives, and Daniel has a pretty serious leading lady, right, Daniel?
That's a fair statement.
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is that we're regular people, too, and we're just getting emails from electrical engineers and posting them to our blog. That's a little insight into what's going on with us. Here's another email we got from this girl, Jay Bush. Jay Bush tells us to look up the butterfly effect, so we're going to check that out. I think that's something different than the Ashton Kutcher movie, probably. We got one from The Foo Fish. And this is actually forwarded to us from the guys at SaveJupe.com. And I actually looked them up, and I talked to them on the phone. And just a little teaser, we're going to have an interview next week on the podcast with the guys from SaveJupe.com and find out what they're doing over there and why they're doing it. But someone sent them an email that said, Save Jupe, what's wrong with you people? Jupe would have been dead 40 years ago if not for the noble efforts of the Hanso Foundation. Your site encourages people to email the Hanso Foundation with their personal concerns when it is really you who people should be concerned about.
Hey, David, is the lost experience real?
It's not real.
Oh, sorry. I got a little worked up there. Sorry.
I think they're just playing a game, kind of snapping back at the Hanso Foundation and ABC and going, hey, we can play the game too. We're going to start a petition. If you haven't heard about it, SaveJupe.com. We talked about wanting someone to make T-shirts that say Save Jupe last week on the podcast. These guys own a T-shirt company, and they turned that site around in like 3 days, sent us an email, and they had it up, and now there's a petition with, what, how many people? Thousands, 3,000 people?
It's over 1,300.
Oh, 1,300. I think we should make it our goal to get 10,000 people to sign that petition. That would be awesome. William's going to tell us. William, who are some of the interesting names on that petition?
Well, the last person on there is Homestar Runner, so if you're a fan of Homestar, that's on there. We do have President Bush on there, Osama bin Laden out of Crawford, Texas.
I can't believe Osama's keeping up with the lost experience.
That's where he is.
Princess Leia's checking out Save Jupe from Alderaan.
Oh, gosh.
Hugh McIntyre.
You good? I didn't know they had the Lost Experience on Alderaan.
Yeah, I think they're broadcasting it via HD. Maybe.
I don't know if it's cool to put in fake names or not. I think it's funny, but let's try to limit the profanity that's on there. I've seen some that are just childish. What else is on there, William? Any other funny ones?
I liked Ana Lucia Cortez. She's hitting it up from 6 feet under.
She's dead. Oh, maybe she's not dead.
Oh.
Ah, spoiler.
Spoiler.
Hey,
spoiler.
By the way, that is a spoiler for our international listeners. We have some. And William and Daniel were just begging me before we started. They wanted to try to do their best international accents and just, you know, say a shout out hello to all the people in and say it in their native accent. So, guys, let's go ahead and hear some of those.
Crikey, hello down under.
Oh gosh, they're gonna hate us.
They are gonna hate us. That was my accent to do, so now I have nothing.
You went to school in the UK.
I went to uni at St. Andrews.
There you go. Do a St. Andrews accent.
That is proof. Scottish is really hard, but I can say goodbye and be like, see us later, mate.
There you go, that's good. We've got some listeners in Brazil we've heard from. How about a Brazilian accent, Daniel?
Anybody know Portuguese?
Yes. The Lost Experience is very, very nice.
It is too sexy.
That's kind of French. Oral.
Hey, we got French. How about French, William?
I think that was French.
Oh, it was. That was French / Brazilian. We've got a lot of international listeners, though. Please don't be offended that we are in Dallas, Texas. Because we can't really do your accents and relate to your cultures.
We have number 960 on the list, Batman, straight from the Batcave.
Batman. Okay, here's my favorite one, 889 on SaveJupe.com. I think it's legit because there's not a lot of fake names around it. Damon Lindelof, Hollywood, California. He is one of the executive producers and writers for Lost. And that looks as legit as any of the other ones. And I think that was even sent in via email before they had the deal. So I'm going to get his email address and email him back and see if it's real. All right, let's move on. Here's some more feedback we got from a guy named Travis. Travis says, guys, I just took a listen to the podcast. I'd been waiting for a podcast for The Lost Experience for a long time. However, your format is incredibly annoying. The sound effects? Come on. You guys sound a lot like an early 80s morning radio show. Sorry, the information is good, but the format sucks. And I emailed Travis back, and I said, thanks for the feedback. We agree with you that we suck. We just wanted to do something a little bit more engaging. It was our first shot. Honestly, we could use some help. We all have jobs, and we're just trying to keep up with the emails and the site in our spare time, and audio production isn't really in any of our skill sets, which is true, right?
Yes.
Well, he emails back and is like, oh, man, I feel like a jerk. You guys are doing this for free. Who am I to gripe? And he says, here's what he said. He goes, I like the information, but, you know, get rid of the cornballish antics. I usually listen to podcasts while I'm working, and it's really hard to debug 3,000-line JavaScript files with duck noises going off in my head. So, hey, Travis, if you're listening and you're doing your JavaScript files... Hey, we're not doing that to bug you, man. We're just having some fun. And I emailed him back, and I said, thanks for making me laugh, because he was just having some fun with us. So, Travis, thank you. I also wanted to comment one more thing. We got a lot of feedback I want to share with about what I'm seeing going on in our comments section. We are the moderators of this, or the administrators of this blog, thelostexperienceclues.com. And I realized that it's probably our responsibility to moderate what's going on in the comments. And what I want to do is just hand that responsibility off to the people that are reading our blog, that are making the comments, that are listening to our podcast and getting on there. It is every individual's responsibility to be decent and to be respectful in the comments section. I'm not going to go on there and delete comments. I don't have time to do that. William, do you have time to do that?
No chance.
Daniel, how about you?
Not at all.
No. So, I mean, you guys just take care of yourselves there. And there's just like some fights going on there. And guys, listen, if you haven't read through all the clues, don't post something that you think is new if you don't know for sure if it's new, because that can get annoying to people that have really been playing this game hard. At the same time, if you've been playing this game and you're really intense and into it and you see somebody post something that seems idiotic to you, be patient with them. So listen, new people, appreciate the wise, smart people that are making a lot of comments and are discussing relevant topics. And people that are wise and have been playing the game and are huge Lost fans, just be respectful and be patient with those other people. But we have seen some fights in our message board or in our comments. I just want to make sure you guys I'll just know, you know, we can't moderate that, so please, everybody just be nice to each other. All right, we're getting way over time. We want to be respectful of y'all as you listen to us. Please send us more email feedback. What do you want us to talk about on this? What questions do you want us to answer? Just make sure you put podcast in the subject line. We get like 500 emails a day, and so it'll help us sort through them if you make sure you put podcast in the subject line. Anything, any closing thoughts from you guys, William, Daniel?
Not a whole lot for me. Just we appreciate you guys' support. Keep the clues and insights coming, and we'll do our best to get them up there as soon as possible.
Save Jupe.
That's right, Save Jupe. Tune in next week to hear from the SaveJupe.com guys. And also, we're going to try to get maybe some of the other bloggers, like the UK or the Australian bloggers, I'd love to have the speaker. We'd love to get them on the phone and get them on the podcast too. So if any of you guys are listening, shoot us an email, and we'll try to hook up a conversation with you guys that we can record and put on the podcast. All right, we'll see you guys next week with the Lost Experience Clues podcast.